Energy, the only energy retailer certified to use the famous green and gold Australian made logo. Support Aussie owned and operated. 101.9, this
is the Fox. Hey, Fev, have you heard about Mercury retrograde? Do you know what that is? It's not a basketball team.
No. No, I don't. I was going to tell you something funny.
Well, we're in the midst of a Mercury retrograde in terms of astrology at the moment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So this is a big event for astrologists, and I'm not an astrologist, and I only ever used to read my, more when I was a teenager. I think when you're a romantic teenager and you honestly think that
Are these star signs?
Star signs, yeah. Astrology?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you think I was talking astronomy?
Oh, I still thought you were going to start talking about space. But that's okay. I got it.
Anyway, this is a planetary phenomenon. Mercury retrograde. It only occurs randomly. It doesn't happen very often. Mercury appears to move backwards across the sky, and it can affect your life. Now, let's talk about...
Do you reckon they've seen this now? That there's no like planes and stuff so they can see clearer?
I have no doubt astrologers are probably
they're in their prime at the moment. They're like, whoa.
Well, Donald Trump has come out and he has said it is time once and for all we discovered UFOs. Let's definitively say whether they exist or not.
So are we talking astronomy now or astrology? I'm getting horribly
confused.
Well,
that's astronomy. Right. But no, back to what Fev said, though. He said there's now clearer skies.
So they might be able to see.
Donald Trump might be able to see UFOs better.
Gotcha.
Now... Fev, what is your star sign? I'm going to read your star sign for you.
Well, it depends.
What do you mean?
I'm Capricorn for 3 years and then Aquarius for the fourth.
Capricorn for three... leap year?
Yeah, every leap year.
How does a leap year affect you when your birthday's in December?
No, my birthday's in January. Excuse you.
Good mates.
Because she's tight. January 20th is a Capricorn, but then sometimes it's Aquarius 1 year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's read Capricorn.
I'm a bit of a licorice all sorts.
It's just on the cusp.
Oh, dear.
It's not good at licorice all sorts.
This is not good, and it might reflect on the fact that I didn't know when your birthday was. Capricorn should be wary of any breakdowns with friends.
Yes, it's already happened.
A breakdown or dispute with a friend could lead to an argument.
I don't have any friends. There's only you two.
Just be clear that you know all of the facts before making any decisions. And one of the facts is I looked at the word December as I was saying your birthday. I knew it was January. So that's a fact. Of course I knew it was January. Just keep that in mind. Endings with friends could occur during this time.
That's good.
Why would you start the show with this bit?
I didn't know that was going to be his... I didn't know. I hadn't read it.
I've only got like endings five friends and they're all here. I'll just pick someone.
Yeah.
As you realise who is your true support.
I'll get the sorbent kid.
Don't call him that. That's.
I'm in a Capricorn as well, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Refocus your dreams and your career path.
This is getting
anyway,
I have
let's
done
play
that.
A song.
I have done that.
101.9 The Fox.
I know we had Tracy Bartram on the show a couple of mornings ago, which was fantastic. That is on our podcast. We won't forget that. Chat in a hurry. And what about this show?
It would not be celebrating 40 years of the Fox without celebrating this man who dominated the airwaves across Melbourne for so long on this wonderful station. And he's a dear friend. We can't wait to speak to him. Is he there? Matt Tilley.
Hey, Fief. Hey, Fev.
Hey,
Matty, how are you?
Well, I'm disappointed you didn't read that whole intro that I faxed you about on my TV.
There were just too many, though, Matt. There were too many. We missed you.
From the peninsula.
At least you've honoured one part of my contract, which is, of course, Tracy and I can't be in the same suburb together. That's...
I don't know if you're joking. I mean, I don't know.
I
would assume.
Of course I'm joking.
But of course you're joking.
You just never know with radio. People, you think they were friends and they weren't, or you think they weren't and they were. You just can't keep up.
People called me and said, "What, Tracy was on, you weren't on. What happened?"
Do you still talk to your ex co-host? Because I think that now, like I hang out with these guys and I'm like, I won't talk to them probably.
Uh-huh.
Do you still get drunk with Juddy every Monday night?
Yeah, Brownlow's we do. Oh, no, he goes. I don't go. I never won one. He gets to go, mate. I was just a shit kicker. I don't have to. I'm allowed to go.
Yeah, no, we still text and stuff. Absolutely. We still catch up. I mean, I've just, I've actually realised I was on quite a few shows at Fox, so yes. I'm not sure whether some people are still alive even.
Now, Maddie, we were talking about, we're going to be celebrating Gotcha Calls, which was such a big part of this station, and you raised so much money for charity. That was huge. What, on Gotcha Calls, I guess it would be great to hear, how hard were they? Like, there was so much that went into it, and I was even so thinking, funny. Matt, I reckon you wouldn't. Could you even do them these days with political correctness, where that is at the moment?
Yeah, no. Well, there's a lot of things that killed them in the end. Mostly my disdain for having to work past midday. But the real problem is no caller ID. No one answers it anymore.
Yeah, of course. So you'd sit there for hours.
Yeah, it used to take hours and hours because really, it only got interesting when people had hung up for the fifth time.
So, oh, yeah.
They took a long time, and I mean, people forget you had to have permission to play them all. So you know, sometimes that would take a few days. And geez, I used to tell people some lies as well. I'm like, well, no one will recognise you once it goes through the transponder on Mount Dandenong. Your voice drops at least 11 megahertz.
Now, mate, we share the same barber, and obviously they've been shut. What have you been doing for a do?
I went out to the front yard with my daughter and we just went the number two all over. And then then my son came inside about an hour later. He said, Dad, I think the dog's got a possum. There's grey hair all over the front lawn.
Maddie, we asked Tracy the other day her least favourite guest moment. We found the audio of her with Russell Crowe, which I loved because you played what I often play in a lot of my co-host relationships, the one who goes, not me, I wasn't part of that, I wouldn't have asked you that.
Whoa.
You've never seen me jump off a sinking ship last night.
Hold on, Maddie.
But Maddie, can you talk us, was there a memorable guest for either reasons, a great guest or a bad guest, or what was one of the most awkward situations you found yourself in?
I remember we were talking to, who's the girl who sang Skater Boy?
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. So Joe Stanley and I were interviewing her in a room, a production studio, just the three of us. And we had a CD that she'd never seen before. It was like an album cover just for Australia. And I asked her a question. There was this long silence. And then she looks up and goes, oh, are you talking to me? And we're like, you're the only other person in the room.
Oh, wow.
So that was a bit awkward. A good show walked out on us. Naomi Campbell hung up. Like, there was a lot that didn't go. And I remember saying to Harrison Ford once, you really don't want to be here, do you? And he goes, not really.
But Maddie, that's what I love about you as a broadcaster. You do call things out because the number of times I have wanted to say to somebody we're interviewing, you don't want to be here, but you actually did it. I admire that.
Well, the thing was, you would know, when you interview international celebrities, usually it's like at Crown and you're waiting in the lobby for an hour and a half.
And they don't care.
You're sitting around, and I remember with Harrison Ford, they're like, they rang us. We were still back at Fox. They're like, we need you here in 10 minutes. We're like, what? He goes, yeah, all the interviews are running really short. He just doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Now, Matt.
There's another one famously where we're speaking to Owen Wilson. And we're down in the foyer of the Hyatt, and they're like, guys, sorry, he's just really backed up with interviews. So we're going to be about an hour late. It's just, he's a great talker, so they're all running over time. And as she's telling us this, we see him in the background going through the lobby in running gear with a bowl of water and a sweatband heading out for a run. And I'm like, is that him over there, maybe?
Now, Matt, what are you doing with yourself now? You're doing a lot of great work with charity. I know a couple of years ago you came in and we did the dollar coin donation at the schools, but you're doing some stuff with Food Bank now, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I went and did a diploma in business governance so I could just get some more letters after my name because FOX just didn't cut it on my
computer. Sure.
So I'm the chief communications officer at Food Bank. So I'm in charge of volunteering and fundraising and marketing and any other department no one wants. So
that's great. That is important work, in fairness to Matt.
You sound like Harrison Ford at the moment.
Do make sure you support the work of Food Bank. You still got the veggie patch. I know that was big on Insta for a while. You're still gardening, like with the veggies and stuff?
Well, look.
It's got grey hair in it.
One of the problems is that it's a little bit of way away from where I live, so I haven't been able to visit it for a while.
Of course.
I'm not the only person in Melbourne suffering from an untended hedge right now.
Good on you. Well, what a good sport he is. We really appreciate you being part of our 40th birthday celebrations, and you're such an important part of the station. So thank you for this morning, mate.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love being wound up. It's one of my favourite things.
Oh, we love you, Maddie. So good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been lovely to be on, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
1019, The Fox.
Let's talk sleep personalities, because apparently everyone has a sleep personality and it can have a lot to do with how much or how little you succeed in life.
Oh.
So a sleep personality is all comes down to your chronotype.
Yeah.
Now, the I don't really, I won't lie, this study that I've read doesn't really explain exactly what a chronotype is, mm-hmm. but we've all got a core chronotype. Yeah. And they relate, or they're categorized as animals.
Mm.
So these are the four chronotypes humans can be categorized as: a bear, a wolf, a lion, or a dolphin.
What do you want me to be?
Well, let's find out what you are, Fev.
It's not role play. It's... What are you doing?
Here we go. So, which one would you be, Fev?
Okay. What do you? I don't know.
Here we go. Here's a bear.
I could be a lion.
I think I'm just going to guess. I reckon you're a bear. A bear typically rises when the sun does. They lose energy as the sun sets, meaning that they're most productive during the waking hours. But you play a lot of what do you call it?
That's not me.
COD during the day.
That's not me, because I'm productive all day.
Okay. I don't reckon that's me either. I don't know where Byron you sit in this, but. Let's go into a wolf.
I think he just said what he thinks he is.
A wolf.
He's a lion.
A wolf. Night owls. Most productive in the early afternoon, late in the evening, after 6 p.m. I actually think you are the wolf of the team, Byron.
Mm,
and Leon, I reckon you're a wolf.
Yeah, it's a wonder we do breakfast radio.
We've got two wolves. I don't think you and I are wolves, Feb. No. I don't think we've settled on what you and I are. Here we go, the lion. The lion. These people are the opposite of wolves and normally find themselves rising when the sun does, exercising in the early hours. No, that's not us. That's the next one. The next one is a dolphin. Dolphin. This has got to be Fev and I.
Well, I reckon I'm all of them so far.
Okay, so.
Because I rise early.
When are you doing your exercise in the early morning?
We go for walks.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Exercise. And I don't sleep. I go to bed.
Now, the dolphin. This is 10% of the population who struggle with sleep in general. Yep.
That's me.
This might be us. Often wake up irritable, unable to function in the afternoon hours. I'm very bad in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah?
Their windows of productivity are between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Still doesn't suit this job.
No.
with bouts of tiredness on either side. I mean, that's more me than any
of the others. I reckon we're all of them. You and me are all of them.
Do you reckon?
We've got little bits of every little animal.
There you go.
The wolf. I mean, I don't think I've been up after 8 p.m. for about 5 years.
It can be.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Now, yesterday some news broke in the celebrity world that might not mean anything to a lot of people. A very high-profile, famous actor called Dominic West.
Dom.
You may know him if you've watched the show The Affair.
Mm-hmm.
Or prior to that, The Wire. He's an English actor that became big.
Ever watched The Wire?
Yeah, I loved The Wire. And he was the lead... He was amazing.
Yeah,
I loved The Wire.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happened over a 24-hour period? He was in Rome. Paparazzi took photos of him very intimately kissing, holding hands with and canoodling with his co-star in a BBC show that he's been filming.
Right.
So that news broke. He raced back to the UK where his wife and four children live, current wife.
You get away with that. You just say you're filming.
I was really just walking around Rome with ice creams in the middle of the day.
Yeah, but she doesn't know what they're filming.
Well, okay.
It's the ice cream scene. Remember?
So,
it was to Paris to get married.
The irony that a man who starred in the TV show The Affair, he had an affair behind his wife's back is stunning. But this, what's played out in the last 12 hours is what's baffling. So he's gone home and caught red-handed. That's just, it's as blatant as it gets. And then the rumours start. Maybe he's broken up with his wife.
Yes.
Maybe they're not together. So then what happens? So paps start flocking to their house and they live in a cottage instead of the country.
Beautiful.
So what they've done and...
Front-footed it.
Yeah. And part of me likes this.
Yeah.
Front foot I thought maybe front footing would work. I don't know what's going to work in this case. So what he and his wife have done, they've walked out the front door together, holding hands. Mm-hmm. The shame is it sort of looks a little bit like a hostage situation for her.
Oh.
You know, it's like he's...
For him or for her?
For her.
Oh.
So they've walked out. He's got his hand around her. They've done a kiss. Looks a bit forced. Oh. And then they've handed a letter to the paparazzi. He has said, apparently, he said to the people there, the journos, he goes, "We are still very much together." And then they handed them a letter and it was signed. It's so weird.
Oh, wow.
They wrote a letter saying, "We are very much together." And then signed, her name is Catherine and Dominic. So
wow.
That's what I guess what they've done
the affair,
is they've got all these
affair.
Paps out the front and they've thought, let's deal with it by front footing it. But you can't help but see a woman that is devastated that not only her husband had an affair, it's all over the news. And now he's dragged her out the front like a hostage and gone, "You show them that we are happily married."
I know. What about at the end of that letter? It said, "P.S. I've just signed up for a new TV show, The Killer."
What the hell are you talking about? What was that?
Well, he was in the affair, had an affair, and then he said to all the media, "Now I'm in The Killer."
But who's he going to kill?
Be careful.
What is going on with you today?
He just acts on his roles. He could be, he's just scaring people. Didn't you, I didn't write it, he wrote it.
No, okay. Okay. What I was before that.
That extraordinary.
Tenuous joke that I still don't quite understand. Before
he acts
that,
on his roles.
Yeah, but he's not in a movie called The Killer.
But he said, "I've just got a new role."
No, he didn't.
Says who?
Oh, you... I've got the letter in front of me.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, you don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
You don't know anything.
Do you want me to take an ad break?
No.
Well, why not? 101.9 The
Fox. It is that time. Our in-house wildlife ecologist is back, guys. Dr. Grunya, what do we do when a
wild animal's attacking you? We do need to speak to the wonderful Gráinne Cleary because there is an issue. Are you there, Gráinne?
I am indeed. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, great, Gráinne. Now, I was going to say, with the world and Melbourne particularly and lots of Australia wanting to be more sustainable, a lot of people have now chickens in their backyards to have eggs. I know I've got neighbours in my street that have got chickens in the backyard. But apparently there are things called brush turkeys. Now, they are attacking backyard chickens. Apparently it's illegal to stop them. They are violently... Should I say this, Gráinne? I mean, it says here in this article, they're violently mating with the backyard hens, which does not sound like that's appropriate in any... by any stretch of the imagination. But anyway, hens are being attacked by brush turkeys. So we want to have chickens in our backyards, Gráinne, but what are we going to do about these brush turkeys?
Okay, as usual, I take the side of the bird.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
So first,
they're just towy, aren't they, Doc? They're just towy.
Exactly, they really are. And they are aggressive maters anyway. So what's happening is that you have these males and they might have moved into the urban areas because of the bushfire. So they mightn't have seen a hen before. And they've built this big mound and, you know, they're really towing. They're looking for the female. They're like, okay, I'm ready. I've got this big mound. And they'll often form a crouching position. So when he's ready to mate, he'll get onto the ground and spread his wings wildly. And he's like, look at me. I'm ready to mate. Look at my big mound. Oh, but of course, all the chickens are ignoring him. They're like, what the hell's with your man? So, you know, they must know what's going on. And he'll then get really frustrated and he'll go for the dark coloured chickens because that's more similar to the colour of the female brush turkey. And he'll, you know, jump on top of her and try to get her into the crouching position. But she won't because she's a hen. She's like, what the hell? So the male then, you know, will jump off. So it's not like, you know, it's actual full force mating.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Doc. Yep. So does the turkey like peacock himself? Like he just, like what a peacock does, just struts.
Yeah,
can't, says, I'm on. I'm sending out mojo.
Exactly. So he's all like, come on, ladies. And there's no ladies around. And that's where he's just getting really, really frustrated.
Where are his ladies, Gráinne?
Well, this is it. Because he's in an urban area, he could be in a back garden where the females just can't come to or can't find him. So this is what we would call an ecological trap. So the male's in there. He's got his big mound. He's ready for the females to lay their eggs. There's no females. So he starts looking at the hens. And they do come from the same family. So, you know, they do kind of show the same behavior.
So how do we protect our hens, Gráinne, from
these brush turkeys? So this is the thing.
You give them mints.
First of all.
Mints.
No,
don't...
that's a magpie trick. Next.
Get a bit of mints. No. So what you could do, we don't actually have them in Victoria yet, but they may migrate down to Victoria because they are kind of coming back into urban areas because they nearly went extinct in the 1930s during the Great Depression. We used to eat them. So they're only really making a comeback now. So what you can do is keep your chickens enclosed and just watch out for them making sounds or being distressed, and then you'll know the turkey's probably in the area. But if you see the big mound, you'll know that there is a brush turkey. But they have been here for 35 million years, you know. They grew up with the dinosaurs. So we've got to respect them.
I wonder if the T-Rex and the turkey mounted.
I don't know if we should.
Gráinne, when you say we used to eat them, I mean, is there anything stopping
us eating them now? Well, we made them nearly go to extinction because we relied on
them. Definitely don't do that.
Very succulent meat, apparently, but not to be.
She's very good.
No, thank you.
And also, when you say look out for their mound, what is that?
So this is a big mound. So how they mate is the male will build a mound using decomposition vegetation.
Oh, so like a natural mound.
Like a bunker. Like what a pitcher stands on, the mound.
They'll make it. They'll make one.
So once if you see a brush turkey digging in your backyard, trouble's afoot.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon, Dr.
Thank
Gráinne.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
It's the Fox. Fifi, Bev
and Byron. Red Energy, the only energy retailer certified to use the famous green and gold Australian-made logo. Support Aussie-owned and operated. 101.